Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Right now, we check in with CBS Chief Foreign Affairs Correspondent and moderator of Face the Nation, Margaret Brennan, as we do every Friday. I wanted to begin, of course, by asking Margaret for her initial reaction to the President's State of the Union address.
It was a very political speech. It was a fiery speech. It was the kind of speech that, frankly, Democrats have been begging the White House to have the president give, because we see, even in our polling, this impression that Mr. Biden didn't have as much of a vision for the country as Donald Trump. Perhaps that's because he wasn't speaking enough about it, rarely doing interviews, for example. Last night, changed that. Very fiery, trying to show the energy for a potential second term, taking his competitor, Donald Trump, head on, referring to him at least 13 times as his predecessor, going through and reminding about the track record during COVID and the like, and unusually starting the speech with that theme of this really being a high stakes, high anxiety era of global instability. Ukraine was the very first issue that he mentioned, talking about his predecessor bowing down to Vladimir Putin, and then talking about January 6th, comparing it to the violence of the Civil War, trying to really paint this election as not just a study in contrast, but a really high stakes one.
We're used to these speeches being a performance and, you know, the clapping and the standing and the hooting and hollering. And last time there was one, we had some members shouting liar at him and all of that. Was there anything different about this speech? Did anything surprise you about what he said? I know at one point he spoke directly to the U.S. Supreme Court justices.
Yes, that was very unusual. Court supposed to be above politics. And as we know, all political norms these days seem to be getting tested, aren't they? You mentioned that the raucousness in many ways, it was more about call and response at times with fellow Democrats in the audience, and jousting, some ad-libbing by the president, responding to Republican calls, for example, from Marjorie Taylor Greene to say her name, talk about that nursing student in Georgia who was tragically murdered, allegedly by a migrant from Venezuela who had committed crimes, could have been deported if properly reported to federal authorities, and was not. And she's come to symbolize a lot about the Republican movement's frustration with the border and border policy. And he ad-libbed a number of times throughout this speech. So it was a speech that the president seemed confident in delivering, energized, and really trying to reflect that he understands the concerns that Democrats have been voicing, that he needs to show he's up for that second term.
And it's going to resonate here in the Seattle area, because we recently had a Washington State Patrol trooper hit and killed on one of our major freeways by a man who turns out to be in America illegally and has been here since 2013, has had run-ins with the law multiple times and yet has not been deported. So the Republican response, in which Senator Katie Britt spoke directly to Americans are dying, and not just from, you know, I suppose she says it's because of illegal immigration, but also fentanyl, that is going to resonate. What were your thoughts on her speech?
Yes, well, certainly border and immigration at one of the top two issues right after the economy for all voters, regardless of party. So this is something that the president chose to engage on in terms of his trying to flip that and lay blame at Republicans, saying it is a crisis. I want to fix it. I negotiated a bipartisan deal in the Senate with Republicans, and he detailed all the things that it would do, including surging resources to Border Patrol, adding more judges, going through and tightening asylum. And at one point, the Republican negotiator in the audience there is sitting. Senator James Lankford nodded, saying, yes, that's true. That's true. Agreeing with the president, all the things that were in this border bill. But the president's focus there is, I need Congress to work with me here. That is a different message than on the campaign trail, how Donald Trump characterizes it, which is I alone can fix it, that things can be done through executive order rather than changing the laws. Congress needs to change the laws. The president can change the policy, and that's it. The next president can reverse that policy unless it's a law, which is what he's trying to do there.
So that bill would fix the border protection bill that former President Donald Trump told his members do not support it. That would fix all the issues Republicans are bringing up as issues?
Not all of them. And even the Republican negotiators would say that, look, the immigration law hasn't been updated in a substantial way in decades because it's such a hard set of issues. So the point being here is that you can tweak, you can change policies, you can make it harder for a set moment in time, as happened during the pandemic when the CDC put in regulations that allowed for expelling people without asylum hearings, Title 42. You can make those policies for short terms, but if you want it to be longstanding, and if you need money, by the way, Congress controls the purse strings. If you need money, Congress has to approve it. So that's Biden's point here is he wants to work with Congress to get it done. And he laid blame for the failure of that border bill at the foot of his predecessor, who told Republicans not to vote for it. So that is his message, that blame the chaos on Trump, Trump blaming the chaos on Biden.
We have Nikki Haley voters he's trying to woo. We have the uncommitted voters in the Democratic Party he's trying to woo. Any polling after this speech to indicate he moved the needle?
I haven't seen any from us at that point, but certainly CBS going into this, we saw in our polling, one of the top things that the president needed to do was simply to describe a vision because there was frustration. We saw that the lack of vision. And we also saw that when you talk to Americans, regardless of party affiliation, the number one word they use to describe the state of the country is divided. And so you wonder who receives the message. You wonder whether that can be overcome. Certainly a speech alone is not going to do that. But it tells you about where we are in our politics.
A one-time presidential hopeful, Florida Senator Marco Rubio, going to be a guest on your show this Sunday. What are you going to be asking him?
That's right. Marco Rubio is also the ranking member on the Senate Intelligence Committee. He and Mark Warner, Democrat from Virginia, sat together for an extensive interview with me about the national security issues facing the country. National security is supposed to be above politics because it's fundamentally about the responsibility of keeping Americans safe. So I wanted to talk to them about the big concerns in this high security era. And I have to tell you, it is remarkable that in this election year, we are seeing politics affect what is possible to such an extent that even addressing some of those security needs like Ukraine, it is not easy to, you know, give an answer.
Yeah.
I didn't get that time frame from either of those senators.
Politics seems to be seeping into every issue now.
Yes.
Margaret Brennan, CBS Chief Foreign Affairs Correspondent and moderator of Face the Nation, the show Sunday on CBS. Margaret, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
In the nation's northwest corner is Washington.
Our resident historian Felix Bunnell joins us Friday mornings for All Over the Map, a quick look at stories behind local places and things. And as he stepped into the studio today, he handed Sully and I both these musty-smelling records.
Welcome
Holiday
to my basement.
In Washington. Oh, actually, I do love the smell of old books. It's a very specific smell. I wish I knew what it was. But these are apparently what? Tourism to lure tourists to the Pacific Northwest, these records?
Yeah, this was 58 years ago this month. First of all, this week, it's the 171st anniversary of the separation of Washington Territory from Oregon Territory back when Millard Fillmore signed the bill on March 3rd, 1853. So this week's All Over the Map is in honor of that anniversary.
Why did we do that, by the way?
We didn't feel like we were getting the representation we needed out of Oregon City, where the capital was, south of the Columbia. People north of the Columbia wanted their own government.
So it has happened, because there's this constant
drumbeat. We seceded from Oregon Territory.
Of trying to, the Eastern Washington secede from Western Washington and become the state of liberty. So it has happened, just not
in
a while.
I did a story about this a couple years ago. There's been multiple efforts. Every decade or so it comes up again. So we could talk about that some other time. But back in March 1966, the old phone company, Pacific Northwest Bell, issued something called a tourist trapper kit. See what they did there? There were maps and brochures and a little 7-inch vinyl record with some audio enticements to visit the Northwest. The idea was that a resident here could request a tourist trapper kit and then mail it to someone not in the Pacific Northwest. Are you following the logic on this so far?
Yes.
Okay, good. Now, there was a Washington version of the record called Holiday in Washington. Colleen, you're our Evergreen State representative. And an Oregon version called Holiday in Oregon. Our Beaver State representative, Chris Sullivan, here has it there. Now, each was in a nearly identical cardboard sleeve with an essay on the back by historian Murray Morgan.
Oh.
Each record has the same narrator, but there were special guests for each state. The Washington native Bing Crosby appears on both. He can still unite us. He can sever that. He can heal that wound from 1853.
Okay.
We'll get to Bing in a moment, but I want to start with the Oregon version and this foreign accent bit from A Man of a Thousand Voices. Mel Blanc grew up in Portland, did so much for those old Warner Brothers cartoons.
My government, the people of France, have sent me to America at great expense to discover the real secret of Oregon. What shall I tell them? Is there nothing I can say to them?
See. Come see.
Yes, come see. So. You'll find plenty of guideposts on this new Oregon trail.
Little Bugs Bunny, little Speedy Gonzales in there, too, I think.
Little Pepe Le Pew as well.
Yeah, that's the first one. You're very good. Yeah, see, okay, good. Scholars of cartoons here. Obviously, you've spent thousands of hours studying them. Now, let's hear part of Bing's bit from the Washington version. Now, I want you to listen carefully, because we're going to hear what they did to this audio to adapt it and make it more Oregon-friendly for the Beaver State version. So listen very carefully.
There's another tonic of outdoor tones to be heard in Washington. The shush of a pair of skis. The crack of a driver meeting a golf ball. The flap of a sail.
The North Pole.
The rush of an untamed river. And the whine of a reel. Now listen to a victim of all those siren calls, Washington's own Bing Crosby.
I like to remember the Pacific Northwest as a land that can put a song in your heart. You know, when I was a kid around Spokane and Tacoma, the song was usually carried in a sort of an off-key whistle or through one of my missing teeth.
See, apart from the celebrities, I think the sound effects, especially the golf ball and the sail, which sounds like they're trying to sail across the North Pole during a gale, that's my favorite part. Anyway, remember how Bing just mentioned Spokane and Tacoma because he was born in Tacoma, raised in Spokane? Okay, see if you can tell what they did to make it more palatable for our friends south of the Columbia River on the Oregon version.
It takes a man who has kept America singing to hear the real music of the Pacific Northwest country. Let Bing Crosby tell you about it.
I like to remember the Pacific Northwest as a land that can put a song in your heart. You know, when I was a kid, a song was usually carried in a sort of an off-key whistle or through one of my missing teeth.
It's such
Slick
a bad
edit.
I looked the record. It's not a skip in the record. It's actually a bad audio edit, which who knows they could do that back then.
All of us perked up at that edit. We were like, gotcha.
Now, I mentioned this 1966 Tourist Trapper kit was a product of the phone company, right? So then perhaps the final moments of each record won't come as any surprise.
And here's one more sound that'll help smooth the way to a happy holiday. That's right. Telephone ahead for reservations or look up travel agent in the yellow pages.
I think if you're under 70, you might think someone's trying to start a chainsaw there. You don't know what that sound is. I don't know. I mean, it's like, anyway.
I like what they have on Scandinavian swingers. Seagulls, ferry boats.
Yeah, it's loaded with audio.
Indignant salmon.
Yeah, there's sort of this thing they kind of play a splashing sound in the water. I mean, it's a brilliant audio design to get people to want to come to the Northwest because this is right after the World's Fair and they kind of had that high of all the tourism. Yeah. And they want to try to recreate it. So
I love it. Well, he's going to take a picture of Sully and I holding these records, and I imagine they'll
for your
end
various
up on
states. Yep.
Social media.
Still planning for your weekend? Cairo News Radio's Paul Holden has you covered.
It's Friday then, it's Saturday, Sunday, what? It's Friday then, it's Saturday, Sunday, what?
Friday is here yet again, and it's time to get out and enjoy some fun in the PNW. If you love to dance, the Monsters A-List Dance Competition and Convention starts today. The three-day event is at the Hyatt Regency Lake Washington and features workshops. Plus, for those looking to show off their moves, auditions will be held for scholarships, performance opportunities, and more. Get details from monstersdance.com. It's an International Women's Day celebration at Cafe Racer in Capitol Hill. It's the first ever Babe Market, featuring live DJ sets from Chong the Nomad and Wax Switch. Plus, you can shop for vintage clothes, get a tooth gem, or a commemorative tattoo. It's not just a night for fun. The event is also raising money for the Jubilee Women's Center. All ages are welcome for this dance party that gets started at 6 o'clock tonight. It's a carnival of cocktails at the Seattle Center. There will be pop-up cocktail bars, opportunities to learn about bartending, food trucks, and more. The carnival runs from noon to 7, and tickets are on sale at SeattleCocktailWeek.com. If you're more of a beer fan, Elysian Brewing is showing off a new brew at the Juice Dust Pop-Up Market. It's a celebration of a new IPA from Elysian Brewing, featuring DJs, food, and other surprises. Beers will be $3, and you can try the new brew at the Elysian Fields in Soto.
Ah, look at that, man. The great outdoors, huh?
Yeah, great outdoors.
Yeah.
Get outside and enjoy one of the best parts of our state. Our state parks. In honor of Billy Frank Jr.'s birthday, admission is free at state parks on Saturday. Pack your rain gear, though. Wet weather is in the forecast. Saturday night at the Seattle Armory, there will be a battle. An art battle. The Art Battle Northwest Regional Championship will pit 12 artists against each other in a speed painting competition. Artists will have 20 minutes to wow the audience as you'll play a part in sending an artist to represent the Northwest at the national competition. All the artwork will be auctioned as well. The event is 21 and up, and doors open at the Seattle Armory at 8:15.
And the Oscar for Best Picture is presented to...
There are a couple of watch parties going on for the Oscars this weekend. Urban Family Brewing and Clockout Lounge are just some of the places celebrating the biggest night in film. If you're looking for a different Oscars experience, you may want to check out the 11th annual On Cinema Oscars special. Just don't expect to see any of the actual ceremony. Wind down your weekend by taking in views of the water, enjoying a warm fire outside, and a free s'more. On Pier 62, there will be a cozy camping lounge, fire pits, and giveaways from REI. The s'more supplies will be provided, but don't worry, you can still toast your own marshmallows. It's free and the last fire pit event of the season, so don't miss out. If you want more details on some of these events or to learn more, check out my recap on MyNorthwest.com. Paul Holden, Cairo News Radio.
Seattle's Morning News. Good morning. I'm Colleen O'Brien, along with Chris Sullivan and Tom Hutler. This morning, we're welcoming Senator Karen Kaiser onto the show. She is retiring after 29 years down in Olympia, representing the 33rd District, which includes Kent, Des Moines, SeaTac, and Burien. Good morning, Senator Kaiser.
Good morning, Colleen.
I guess the first question I have for you is, what led to this decision to retire?
It was time. It comes to you as a realization that you've done what you wanted to do, and maybe there should be other chapters in your life.
What do you have any idea of what that next chapter will be?
I am thinking about writing another book. I wrote a book last during the pandemic and published it last year, and I think I've got another book in my head to start working on.
I do remember us talking about that book, and a lot of it had to do with advice for, you know, young up-and-comers in the political sphere. And last week, I spoke with your Republican colleague, Representative J.T. Wilcox, who is also not going to come back to Olympia after 14 years, and he had the same thought. He really wanted to reach out to those young lawmakers who, you know, may be lured by the theatrics of politics today and wanted to tell them, just be boring, be yourself, and get the work done. Do you have the same feeling today?
Well, I do say that we have a wonderful, wonderful new cohort of young and diverse legislators in our state legislature. When I gave my remarks on the floor on the retirement speech, I referred to Peggy Maxey, who was a Black representative, the first Black woman to be elected to the legislature back in 1971. And she was one of only 8 women in the entire legislature at that time. Today, the legislature is 46% women.
Wow.
So we have really changed the makeup of members, and the new members have a lot to learn, and I thought when I wrote my little book that I could help guide them a bit. I've had a wonderful time making real change for the state of Washington and my constituents, and they can do the same thing.
Your legislative focus has often been healthcare access, women's rights in particular, worker protections. What are you most proud of in your 29 years?
It's hard to say, but maybe the paid family and medical leave program. I worked on that for more than 10 years before we were able to enact it. And it just went into effect right as the pandemic hit. And it was a lifesaver for so many families who could take time away from their job and still receive income. And it was set up so that the lower the income, the higher the wage replacement, so people could actually pay the rent.
Why is it so difficult, do you think, to get those types of support systems passed today, from childcare to paid sick leave, paid family leave, living wages? It seems to be a fight and scrap for anything that is just livable in Washington State. What's happening down in Olympia?
Well, I'm actually encouraged, you know, and because perhaps I have a longer view. Mm. When I started, we didn't have paid family leave. We didn't even have paid sick leave. We didn't even have sick leave rights to use if it was a family member who was sick and not yourself. So we've made quite a little bit of progress, and we still have much to do. Just today, I noticed that the Subway sandwich shops owned by a certain corporation are being cited for stealing the tips that people are leaving on their credit card purchases. And the corporation was not distributing them to the workers who sold the sandwiches. Mm. Well, that's another whole new issue, because people are using credit cards to buy everything and putting tips on their credit card now. And we need to take a look at how that's working. So there's all kinds of ongoing issues that happen that we need to keep an eye on. The issue of independent contractors, the Uber and Lyft drivers, all of these things are current and continuing. And Washington State has been a leader on these kinds of programs. And in fact, today, I will tell you, we'll be a leader on creating a framework for legislative employees to collectively bargain.
Wow, still so much work to do. Is it tough to leave?
Yes, it is. Mm. But I'm going to stay active and stay involved. And as I said, I've got some ideas on what to do next.
How do you reflect on politics today? I don't think it's any mystery that language is more divisive. Tribalism is more apparent. It's an us versus them mentality. And, you know, talking again with your Republican colleague, J.T. Wilcox, and he's leaving, and he's also expressing exasperation with the theatrics and how politics has gone from getting the work done, representing constituents, to representing special interests. And taking rights away. How do you reflect on politics today?
Oh, well, I fight back, I push back, and I think the state legislatures are much different than what's going on in Congress. Yeah. The state legislatures are functional, not just in Washington State, but in many states, and are getting many landmark pieces of legislation passed, but it's at a state-by-state level. It's a real patchwork. Unfortunately, Congress is completely at an impasse. It seems all they can possibly do is pass partial budgets and not much else. And sometimes even the budgets are a problem. Our state, and in particular the state Senate, has maintained a open dialogue and a respectful tone, where the idea of creating divisiveness is not accepted. Yes, we have differences, but we don't attack each other personally. We don't go into our little corners and pout. We work together, and sometimes we get to yes, and sometimes we don't, but we still respect each other. And I respect my Republican colleagues because they've been participating in that dialogue. That's the only way to really legislate.
I did get that same sentiment from Representative Wilcox, too, that despite being in the minority for much of his 14 years down in Olympia, there was still discussion, there was still dialogue, and people working together to find that consensus. So it's really good news to hear from you, and, you know, mostly from Representative Wilcox, that it is functionable down in Olympia.
Yes, it is. And I think it's unfortunate that the national political scene of just absolutely toxic politics dominates the conversation, when in fact the real work on issues so important to communities like education and higher education and jobs and workplace standards and childcare, as you mentioned, and all the things, healthcare, that we work on in the legislature are day-to-day concerns for our constituents.
Senator Karen Kaiser, 29 years of public service, will be retiring after this legislative session. Senator Kaiser, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for your public service.
Thank you very much for the conversation, Colleen. Have a great day.
Now it's time for your daily dose of kindness, brought to you by Heritage Homecraft. A California woman has collected quite a following online, and it's all because of her plus-sized pooch. Anika Brom rescues obese dogs, but it didn't start out that way. The Washington Post reports Brom's beloved rescue dog, Georgia, passed away last May, and over time, Brom began to feel lonely again and decided to look into adoption. That's when her roommate showed her a dog named Franny, who is being highlighted by a rescue group called Rover's Retreat. Franny is an 8-year-old, severely overweight golden retriever who had lived outside her entire life and whose owners plan to just euthanize her. She needed a home. So Brom stepped in and offered to take in Franny, who weighed 65 pounds more than the average female golden retriever. And it turned out she had more issues than just her weight. In addition to living outside her entire life in the backyard of her family's home, she was fed table scraps and drank water from an old paint bucket. She was suffering from pneumonia. But with Brom's help, she slowly recovered. When she brought Franny home, Franny couldn't even stand on her own legs. But Brom was committed. And in less than 3 months, Franny learned how to stand on her own legs. She shed 31 pounds and is finding she really likes to chase tennis balls. She went from defeated to a more bubbly dog, with her sassy side starting to show, according to Brom. All of this has been playing out on social media, too. Brom decided to chronicle Franny's progress there, and now a lot of strangers are heavily invested in Franny's new life.
Sign up for Mariners Mail to receive pre-sale offers, exclusive content, and more directly to your inbox for free. Mariners Mail subscribers get first dibs on all the latest ticket news and action from T-Mobile Park. Go to mariners.com/insider to join the club today.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, "Your dad has been hurt really bad."
The grief was disorienting for those left behind, until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
7:48. Are we excited to welcome G. Scott on this Fresh Friday Seattle's Morning News? Of course, we always are, especially on Fresh Friday.
All right, good.
And
good.
I tried to wear my freshest thrift find for you today, and I'm making it a contest with our listeners. If they can guess what my shirt means, I'm going to enter them to win a Cairo News Radio mug. And three people have guessed it right.
The guesses are hilarious.
They are hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, anyway, enough about my shirt.
Okay.
You can guess later on.
Okay.
You watched the president's State of the Union, and you sent this particular quote from the president to our producer, David. Here it is.
The very idea of America is that we're all created equal and deserves to be treated equally throughout our lives. We've never fully lived up to that idea, but we've never walked away from it either. And I won't walk away from it now. I'm optimistic. I really am. I'm optimistic, Nancy.
What did that mean to you?
That was, I've never heard it said that way before. Mm-hmm. That is the idea, that we are, we try to live by that, and we've never lived up to it being equal here in America, right? Because we've always got some group that's mm-hmm. marginalized. We always have some group that we as a country are trying to exclude and not include. We have people that make a living off of talking bad about some groups here in this country.
Yeah, fear, fear, fear.
Fear, fear, fear.
Yeah.
Thank you. But to hear him say, we've never lived up to it, but we've never walked away from it, is powerful. Hmm. And what I mean by that is one of the things that I talk about, one of the talks that I gave to a company recently, is often when we are judging our lives, people in general, we are always judging it from the standpoint of where we want to be, right? And so sometimes our frustrations are pent on, hey, I'm not there yet. This is where I want to be. So we get fixated on not being where we want to be. Instead, we should change our thinking a little bit and start from where you are now and look backwards, right? And if you do that, you will have a better feeling about where you have come so far. Now, back to the whole point in what President Biden said at that time. America still has a long ways to go. Mm-hmm. We still have a long ways to go when you're talking about being inclusive for everyone, no matter your religion, creed, color, gender, all of those things, right? We have a long way to go. However, if we just take a moment to look and see where we've come from, that's when you'll get the appreciation. And that's why I appreciated President Biden saying that. He says, we've never lived up to it, but we've never walked away from it.
Do you believe it, though? Has he done enough as president for you to believe that that's earnest and not lip service as we normally hear during election cycles?
Yeah, absolutely. I do think. I'm not dumb. We're all not dumb. We all seen the history books. We know and how Joe Biden used to talk back in the days compared to how he talks now. As a matter of fact, we all know how maybe our mama talked back in the days and how they talk now. Some of us probably used to talk a certain way. What I mean by that is, yes, does President Biden need to be better? Do I need to be better?
Yeah.
Do we all need to be better? Right? Like, that's the whole lesson. And that's what I loved about the State of the Union address yesterday, is because when you listen to that, you didn't feel like you weren't a part of the conversation. Right? And I think that's the hard part for some to do, is to make everyone feel included in that conversation.
Yeah.
You can disagree. You and I, whoever, we can disagree on topics. Don't mean I'm not going to give you my finger touch at the end. You know what I mean? That we
yeah,
do,
that's
or
right.
the fist
yeah.
bump to Dave Ross.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're absolutely right, and that's what I miss about politics too. Is this idea that the president is everyone's president, no matter who it is. And what we see from the former president is this idea of, I don't want the Haley voters. I don't like Democrats. If you don't believe what I believe, you're not on my side. It's not supposed to be that way in America. We're not supposed to have that type of leader. We're supposed to have a leader that brings people together. And you're right. You can disagree with President Biden. You can think he's too old. You can think he's not all right in the head. You can disagree with his border policies, all of that. But when somebody's your president, they should invite everyone to the table. And he does that.
Right.
He invites everyone to the table.
I want to reintroduce.
I wish we had time for the Republican rebuttal, because that was show,
funny.
Too.
Yeah, I want to reintroduce civics class again, because remember, there's three branches of government.
That could be a new segment,
I mean?
On your show, Civics with G. Yeah, all right. It is 8:34 on Seattle's Morning News. Good morning. I'm Colleen O'Brien. As you heard, Chris Sullivan with us, Tom Hutler with us, and one of my favorite people in the whole world, consumer man, Herb Weisbaum. If you go back 15 years, Tom, Herb, and I would have been sitting in a radio booth together 15 years ago.
Yes, wearing that same T-shirt. Very nice T-shirt, Colleen.
Thank you. I've been trying to get the listeners to guess what it means from our cams. Well, don't tell them.
Well, it means that you didn't turn the light on in the closet this morning. You just grabbed that T-shirt.
So, you're still
so
the
sorry,
same
I'm
person.
Sorry.
But it's like throwback having you two with
it's
me
great.
Here in the studio. Charlie Harger's the news director. None of us left.
Consumer man or Don Rickles. What are you doing?
Oh, my God.
My wife left.
And 43 years ago this week, I left the East Coast and came to Cairo Radio and TV to launch the Consumer Unit. So this is a very special week for me, beside being National Consumer Protection Week, which is my favorite week of the year.
Well, congratulations on all of the help you've been giving us throughout the years and our listeners. You came in today to tell us how to be a smart shopper and how to complain about products that don't work. You're going to teach us how to complain.
Yes. So let's just start with the shopping. Checkbook.org, which is the nonprofit I work for, we do a lot of price comparisons. We have mystery shoppers. We do a lot of price surveys. And it's incredible the difference between one company and another or one service and another. And for instance, we recently looked at auto insurance. Okay. If you price auto insurance every couple of years, which we suggest you do, even if you're happy with your company, you can save about $500 on average. But some people, if you have like a child on the account, a kid who's driving, $1,500 is not uncommon. Yeah. By making a couple of telephone calls or going on the web, you know, traffic reporter Sully's paying attention to that right now. So that's a lot of money.
Yeah, because I have a 22-year-old still on my while he's in college. I'm like, whoa.
And a boy, too. So, don't they charge more for boys than girls when it comes to insurance? Or is that a thing of the past now?
Yeah.
No, they do?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's sex, kind of car, expense, et cetera. So, and if you don't want to make all the calls or shop around, get on an independent broker. They're going to be working for you. They can let you know what's going on. So I actually had to switch policy last year because my policy did not cover earthquake insurance anymore.
Oh.
And just by switching over, and the agent did it, no muss, fuss, I saved $1,000. $1,000 just by switching over.
Yeah, we all think we have to do it ourselves, but where are these magical brokers that can save us money?
Well, you can find them. I mean, you can look around and
Google,
talk to a friend. Do you have a broker? That's how I found mine.
Okay.
Credit cards. The report came out from the government last week that said you can save 8 to 10% on the interest rate just by shopping at smaller banks or credit unions, as opposed to going to a big bank. If you're carrying a $5,000 balance, you know, that's $400 or $500 a year that you're not paying in interest. But it goes for everything. Appliances. I always shop with a little appliance company on the east side every time I buy appliances rather than the big guys, because in many cases they can't negotiate. They have these advertising deals where they got to keep the price within a certain parameter. But you go to a little store and they can negotiate with you and probably give you a better service.
But not everybody's comfortable with negotiating, Herb. We get shy. We think, oh, I don't want, you know, I don't want to be confrontational.
Right. Well, little guys is sometimes not even that hard. But if you just simply say, Consumer Reports has done survey after survey, that if you just say, just to haggle a little bit, can you do anything better for me? Can you do anything better? Maybe you won't get a better price on the washer, but maybe they'll say, we'll give you free installation, or we'll take the old one away for free or something. You always tend to get something if you just say, I need a better deal. What can you help me with that?
So, and is it because the little guys are trying to compete with the big guys? They're more willing to go, okay, if I just give you free installation, I'll get your business.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Okay.
So, but it doesn't always go right. So then you have to complain. And that's the area where most people don't want to bother to do it, or they don't do it right. You know, calling up a company and saying, I hate your guts and I'll never shop there again. That is not how you call somebody and say, hi, could you please help me?
Is that you on our text line saying those things?
Yeah, see? Right? And then when you write a news reporter and say, I hate your guts, it was the worst story. That's not how
Cairo's dead to me.
Right, right. But if in my years of experience, if somebody wrote me a thoughtful note and said, I want to share with, I'll call them back. I'll talk to them.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the same thing with, customer service complaining. So start with at the lowest level and work your way up. Try to see a manager or someone like that. Customer service, call them. If they can't help you, the old tip used to be ask for a manager, customer service line. There are no supervisors around anymore. The pandemic changed all that. They'll say, I'm the supervisor. Or, you know, so if that doesn't work, then you want to escalate a little bit. You could write the president of the company. They're not going to respond, but they'll kick it down. It'll come from the president of the company. You can complain to, the Better Business Bureau, who helps solve problems.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Now, my husband used to be an investigator for the Better Business Bureau when we were over in Spokane.
Right.
And that is 100%. He's actually used that conduit before when somebody didn't finish a chimney sweep job
Correct.
For us, but they still wanted to charge us the full price 3 months later. He went through the Better Business Bureau. They negotiated for him.
State Attorney General's office.
Yeah.
If you paid with a credit card, you can always complain and say, I didn't get the washer and dryer I asked for. They will do a charge back and they'll go after the company and say, you're going to pay the money back. That's the way. And then also use government agencies. You can complain, like if it's a cell phone or whatever cable problem, the Utilities Commission of Washington State, they will go to bat for you. The company gets if it's a financial mortgage, credit card, that kind of thing, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, their database is public. public. Everybody gets to see the complaints.
Ooh.
Businesses hate that, and they have 15 days to respond. That's how you get somebody's attention.
Absolutely.
Last but not least, get their attention by using social media. Go on social media and tag them, and that they have teams now. They may ignore the phone, they may ignore the email, but they have teams that will pay attention to social media because they don't want the whole world knowing that they've screwed up, and they will tend to help you out that way.
We've
and
if seen
you
complain, that with big companies,
even
too.
Even if you complain about something, you may not get complete satisfaction, but if like you didn't like the, if you wrote a nice note and said, you changed the mustard recipe and I really don't like it, they'll give you like a year's worth of mustard in some cases. I mean, you might get something out of it, but you have to do it the right way and not come on. And don't be ridiculous. I've seen people who, you know, my washing machine broke and it ruined my week and now I have mental anguish and I want, and you got to pay for my kids' college tuition. Yes. No, let's keep it within reason. I want it fixed within a couple of weeks, or I want a new one or something, but let's, you know, not get crazy with
but
what
start
we're
with the
for.
Compliment sandwich and then escalate to the hysteria.
Absolutely.
That's
right.
What you're saying.
Exactly.
Well, great advice. Let's wrap up our coverage of the Washington State legislative session. Today is the final day, and Cairo News Radio's Matt Markovich has been following this roller coaster of a session. Matt, is that how you would define it, or how would you describe this session?
I would describe it as a sprint, and it ended yesterday. So now that everyone's doing their recaps, including you and I, and you can ask me any question you want. In fact, since you guys were just talking about daylight savings time, you know, there was a bill to convert Washington State to daylight standard time permanently.
Yeah.
That never got out of committee.
Right, because the standard time is something our lawmakers can do without congressional approval. That would mean
correct.
We're on the fall back time. The spring forward time needs congressional approval, and Congress is nowhere near functioning enough to do that.
And always remember, time flies like an arrow, fruit flies like a banana.
Okay.
So that's my dad joke there.
It's hard enough for me to remember spring forward, fall back, so I don't know if that one's going to stick, Matt.
All right. So so what happened yesterday? Well, they wrapped everything up, and they added $2.1 billion to nearly a $70 billion operating budget yesterday. A lot of money for education, health, mental health services, health care, public safety. But roughly $900 million of this extra $2.1 billion that they added is from the Climate Commitment Act. As you know, that's very controversial and will be going into November when there's a vote of the people on the CCA, whether to repeal it or not. And there's a lot of money tied to that. And the governor, after the legislature adjourned, made a point after the session was over that the legislature spent the extra money that they had this year.
And what they did not do is they didn't go backwards. They didn't collapse in the face of people who wanted to gut our ability to have more funding for schools, to have more assistance for electric school buses, to have the way to help in our behavioral health crisis. There are folks who urge them to gut the capital gains tax and the Climate Commitment Act. And if that had happened, we would not have been able to have done this work. In fact, we would have had to go backwards. I'm proud of them because they stood strong. And they continue the upward progress of this great state.
What he continues not to acknowledge, and I hear this from our listeners all the time on the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line, is that it's not that we're against helping with pollution and climate. It's that from the start of this, they're starting to get the feeling that the governor lied about the impact of the Climate Commitment Act. And that's what the issue is, that he passed this act on a lie that it wouldn't impact gas prices. Mm-hmm. And a lot of studies and many people have pointed to that it did. And we've seen it with our own eyes. We've experienced it with our own pocketbook. If he could just say that, I feel like he would get a lot more sympathy and perhaps turn the tide this November when it comes to voting on repealing it.
Well, that's a good point, and it's a perfect segue into my next point.
Oh.
How about that?
Okay.
Wow, you were reading my mind. Because,
I didn't even know. I feel like the listeners want that side represented, that it's not so much we want to repeal the Climate Commitment Act and down with the climate. It's, no, we want to help. There's environmentalists all over Washington State.
Right.
It's that feeling of a lie and his inability to say, wow, I really didn't expect it to impact gas prices. It really did. It's too bad. I think combined with the gouging of the, you know, he thinks it's the gouging of the companies. Other people think it's a combination of the two. Let's just talk honestly about this and work through it.
Well, the natural gas bill, the clean energy bill, as it's called, plays right into what you're just talking about. This is another big controversial bill that passed late early Wednesday morning, basically restructured Puget Sound Energy, which is going to have to pay a lot of the pollution tax credits that we've been talking about with the CCA. They're going to have to pay this tax going forward because of all the natural gas that's burned and emitted from Puget Sound Energy and its customers. So a final version of the bill that we've been talking about removed the eliminated the future residential hookups for natural gas. It was a prohibition against that. But that the last version that was taken away. So that was a big thing. But Governor talked about how it would raise rates yesterday because you're going to have a planned phase out of natural gas. And the critics say of this particular Puget Sound Energy bill is that it is going to raise rates. And this time, this is his prediction about what's going to happen with this particular natural gas bill.
I can tell you long term, your rates will go up big time if you shackle yourself to the long term future of a more expensive product. And methane gas is going to become more expensive because it is a limited resource. And as more people get electricity on their utility grid, the utilities will have to start charging more for methane gas. And so people are going to be exposed to higher prices. So I believe over time, this is going to be an economically wise decision for Washingtonians.
And that is the phasing out of natural gas. And that, but all these other energy producing things like wind power and everything else, those renewable energy sources are expensive too. So here he is predicting that your gas and electric rates are going to go up. And that's a good thing. So in a way, he did an about face with what he did with the CCA,
yeah.
Where he said, "Oh, it's not going to be. It's just going to be pennies a gallon."
Perhaps
well,
he learned his lesson.
Saying, yeah. Here he's basically saying, "Hey, expect higher bills because we're going to start shifting to renewable sources, and also we have to phase out natural gas, and it's going to cost you more."
Well, so of course, he can tell the truth this time too. He's not running for re-election.
That's right.
When you start hearing things like this from politicians when they're lame duck, right? You can't. It drives 20 years in this, and I see it every time. The spinning of words when you're running for election, and then when you're done with politics, suddenly you can speak openly about. You know, you saw that with the administration. Of former President Donald Trump. Suddenly they were like, all right, let's talk about this guy. Yeah, it's exhausting, and I hope people hear it.
Yeah. One last thing I want to bring up because it was a big deal this legislative session. One thing that did not pass is the rent cap increases. You know, putting a cap of 7% on residential rates going forward. Well, it's been tried before. This is the farthest it's ever got. And then yesterday, the lead Democrat in the House, Speaker Lori Jenkins, told TVW, it's coming back next year.
It's very important to us to stabilize rents and to make those more predictable for renters. I'm both optimistic about it and determined that we're going to need to work on those to move forward.
So it's going to come back next year. I thought that's a prediction that we can all guarantee, and it's a very controversial thing, and that's going to happen next January. And there's your wrap up for this year.
Thank you for your work, Matt. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Rocking and rolling into Friday with our friend Herb Weisbaum in the studio. And now it's time for the Consumer Man quiz show. Yeah. Well, it's got a good beat to it, and I can dance.
Right.
That's American Bandstand. Yeah, Dick Clark. Herb, you have a quiz for us on best practices for consumers. You're going to test all of us. We have Chris Sullivan here, Mickey Gomez. I'm here. We have our producer, David Burbank. So I'm nervous because you said these questions are
really
hard.
Really tough. But before I do that, I just want to give out something for the listeners.
Yeah.
So checkbook.org is a nonprofit that rates services in 7 cities, including Seattle's one of our home bases. It's for subscribers. But because it's National Consumer Protection Week, anybody listening, if you go to checkbook.org/consumerpedia, which is the podcast I do, you can get a free 30-day trial and look at ratings for plumbers and electricians and orthodontists and home security systems, which is what Sully wants to do, and get the ratings. He's legitimate, no advertising. It's true ratings. So checkbook.org/consumerpedia.
All right, here we go.
Here is the first question.
I have anxiety. I'm just letting you know right now. I have anxiety.
My hands are sweating. Yeah.
The organic label can help you when making decisions about the food you buy, but it doesn't apply to everything. The term organic is meaningless if it's on a package of chicken, meat, eggs, or seafood.
Chicken.
Anybody else have an
seafood?
Seafood.
Oh, I got it wrong?
Yes, seafood. There's no such thing as organic seafood.
Yes.
Okay.
But just for calling so everyone knows the buzzer. That was for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Can you hear the bell? Department two?
Yes.
Everybody else, nothing.
Here we go. All right,
number two. State or federal rules require some purchases to come with a cooling off period, giving you a little time to cancel the transaction without any penalty. How long is the cooling off period when you buy a car? 3 days, 7 days, 14 days, or a month?
7 days.
A month.
I'm going to say 7 days.
I'm going to go 14 days.
Buzzer, please. Oh, the buzzer's not queued up. No, actually, there is no cooling off period when you buy a car.
That was a trick question.
It was. And a lot of people don't know that. I've had people call me and say, I bought this car 3 days ago and the yellow doesn't go with my complexion. They won't take it back. That's right. You bought the car. When you sign the contract, you walk off the lot, you bought the car. There's no cooling off period. Okay.
That's a good one.
How long is the cooling off period when you switch cell phone carriers and sign up for a new cell phone? 3 days, 7 days, 14 days, or there is no cooling off period?
There is no cooling off period.
I'm going to say that there is. I can't decide between 7 and 14.
7.
I'm going to say 7.
I'm going 14 again.
14.
I'm still at zero.
And the government that's a government regulation put in place so people can change cell phone companies without having to worry about it. All right, okay. One more. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know this, but when you buy an airline ticket, you can change your mind and get a full refund if you act quickly. Is it within an hour of the purchase, 6 hours, 24 hours, or within a week?
24 hours.
24 hours.
Correct. 24 hours.
24 hours.
And a lot of people don't know that. Yes. Okay.
I know. I knew that one because I did an airline
story.
You got
more? We still have 3 minutes, Herb. Okay. I'm loving this.
Okay. You carry a balance on your credit card and money is tight. How can you make sure you don't get charged the late fee when you can't pay the whole bill?
You pay the minimum.
That is correct.
You
pay.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know that. They don't make the payment. If you pay the minimum, it's not a late charge. So you know, and it doesn't ruin your credit score. So if you can't do, pay the minimum. Okay. You have a $20,000 balance on your credit card. If you only make the minimum each month, how long will it take you to pay off the balance? And I'll give you a hint. It's in years.
72.
I'm out on this.
72
math.
And up. 72
10,
and up.
10 years.
Very close. I'll give it to you. 9 years at 22% interest.
All right.
That's a long, long time. Which of the financial tools that I'm going to mention are the give you the most protection against fraud? Debit card, credit card, or peer-to-peer app
credit
transfer?
Credit card. Wait, right. What was
she got it.
Hold
credit
on.
Card.
Like, read the question credit card again.
Let him finish, Colleen.
Credit card gives you the most consumer protection.
You bust in too early.
Okay, so here's the opposite. Which of these financial tools provides the least consumer protection against fraud? Debit card, credit card, or peer-to-peer transfer?
Peer-to-peer transfer.
Debit card.
Correct.
Oh.
Yeah, so it goes credit card, debit card, and peer-to-peer has almost nothing.
Remember, debit
almost
card
nothing.
Is FDIC, so you're
yeah,
good
but
to go.
But, okay, but we're talking fraud protection.
Fraud protection.
So
okay.
Fraud protection, debit card is nowhere near
peer-to-peer,
equal to a credit card.
I meet you for my eBay purchase at the gas station to see I'm right. gone.
Right.
No, I was just letting Colleen know that there was some type of fraud
right.
protection
yeah.
with the debit
right,
card
but
because
not,
of FDIC.
But, yeah, but nowhere near as much as... Okay, so one more. There are lots of ways to look for identity theft, such as credit monitoring, but there is only one thing you can do to prevent an identity theft from opening a bank account or credit card in your name, to prevent them from doing the harm, not after the horse is out of the barn. What is that? What's the one thing you can do?
Move to Montana and live off the grid.
Perfectly acceptable answer, right. Not the one I was looking for.
All right. What you can do, you can trademark
your name.
You can pay for VPN.
Mr. Burbank, our producer?
Yeah, use cash only. I don't know.
No, that even won't prevent you from being a victim of any theft.
Whoa.
Credit freeze. Go to Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion and freeze your credit. It'll take you a minute. That blocks the bad guys to do anything that requires a credit check. They won't be able to open a bank account in your name, a credit card in your name, rent a property in your name, get cell phone service or utility in your name because they'll do a credit check and they'll kick them out. So
It'll automatically deny.
Right. Freeze your credit at all three credit bureaus and do it for your kids. Kids are now 1.25 million kids a year have their identity stolen. Parents and guardians, you can freeze their credit reports and keep them from getting a ding on their credit before
they
even
start. I'm going to do that. Yeah.
Wow. Herb, what would we do without you?
It wouldn't be as sunny on a Friday. What can I tell you? It's a pleasure. It's such a pleasure.
Our consumer man, checkbook.org is where you find all of the services that Herb has given us on the radio for years and years and years. So thank you for your help.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Yes.
And a lovely t-shirt.
Thank you. Listen, I have at least 6 listeners who have guessed the t-shirt right, and they're going to enter.
I'm looking at it. I can't figure out what it is.
Let me see the t-shirt.
Okay.
Oh, I love it. Yep. I won't ruin it. There you go. I get it.
You can go to Cairo. You got to show Herb.
Okay. I saw it. Okay.
He just doesn't want to guess.
It's okay. The Wicked Witch of the West got run over by a car.
Nope.
Okay.
This is a dessert. She got squished by a dessert. What's the dessert? It's not a ho-ho. It's a...
Hum-hum.
What? Well, it's not a Twinkie.
Which is what I am. A ding-dong. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Where's the buzzer?
I'm Dave Ross.
And I'm Colleen O'Brien. Thanks for listening to Seattle's Morning News.
You can hear us live every morning on 97.3 FM or subscribe to this podcast and you'll never miss the show.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.